Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day, there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And we're going to have so much fun today because we're going to be talking about how to get your message out to people, especially in a time when we are not meeting, we're not going to seminars, we're not going to all sorts of things. So please join me in welcoming Nancy Geary to our program today. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here today.
Great, great. Well, let me tell people just a little bit about you and then we will dive into this. So after a lifetime in the corporate training world, Nancy knows how businesses operate, and she isn't afraid to shake things up. Her unique perspective, combined with 25 plus years of experience, has empowered her with fresh insight and the industry's best kept secrets that she's ready to share with us. On a lifelong campaign against boring training, she uses the power of storytelling and lighthearted humor to create an engaging, fun, and interactive environment. Masterfully intertwining comedic humor with life lessons, her stories make learning stick. Nancy has worked with the biggest names in corporate America, and I saw a lot of those on your website, like Johnson Controls, Harley-Davidson, and Northwestern Mutual. So again, Nancy, welcome.
I am very glad to be here to talk with you about one of my favorite topics.
Perfect. I love it. I love it. Well, I always like to get us in the Wayback Machine and have my guests talk to us about where they came from and how they discovered that this is their passion in life. So lead us in that direction.
Wow, the Wayback Machine is going to go way back.
You started when you were four, we know.
Exactly. Well, I was working for an insurance subsidiary of a bank.
Okay.
And this was a time when things were being deregulated and banks could sell insurance products. Mm-hmm. And my boss said, you know, you're a good talker. Why don't you handle the training of the account representatives mm-hmm. so that they can learn how to add insurance into the mix mm-hmm. of typical banking services. Mm-hmm. So I just did it mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed it. And then I went on from there and took another job in a brokerage firm, similar type of work, but I was mm-hmm. just going off of instinct. Mm-hmm. And then I landed at a place, it's probably been bought and sold a million times since then, in Northern Illinois called Applied Learning. And mm-hmm. there I learned about instructional design, mm-hmm. which is really the foundation for creating training materials. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to be really an apprentice. Mm. I had a quality assurance manager. Mm-hmm. I had a regular manager. So everything that I did, I got consistent feedback on. Mm-hmm. And they also allowed us to participate in a master's degree program that we did as a lunch and learn type of format.
Nice.
So it was just this combination mm-hmm. of events that I'm really grateful for because it really grounded mm-hmm. me in what I do. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I just went on to mm-hmm. work for different corporations in designing all different types mm-hmm. of programs. Back in the day when there was these things called 3 1/4 inch discs.
Oh, yes. Oi, oi.
Floppies. I don't know if it was 3 1/2 or 5 1/4, but anyway, that's how far back it goes. Mm-hmm. And so I look pretty good, don't I?
Yes. Well, like we said, you started when you were four.
I did. So it's been really the whole trajectory of my career, mm-hmm. but I just had that one moment of, hey, get up in front of a group of people and mm-hmm. and teach. And then just everything just mm-hmm. happened after that.
Cool.
Which sort of brought me around doing work inside of corporations, mm-hmm. is training in every job that you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And then going out on my own, where I still do work with corporations, but mm-hmm. I also work with smaller businesses mm-hmm. and entrepreneurs as well.
Great.
To help them mm-hmm. kind of move things along. I just did a retreat not too long ago of mm. several people, mostly authors, speakers, and coaches, mm-hmm. and helping them take, well, what are their great ideas and mm-hmm. how can they then turn it into training? Mm-hmm. So that's been a lot of fun, because we're in a time where really anybody can create an online mm-hmm. course.
Right.
Which is a good thing and a bad thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because anybody can do it, but should anybody do it?
Yeah. And there's not a lot of design or thought mm-hmm. put into it. And it's harder to recover, I think, when you're trying to create an online mm-hmm. experience than when you're in front of a room mm-hmm. and live.
Right. Right. Well, you know, in the intro, I talked about the fact that as we're recording this, we are still in the pandemic.
Yes.
We're not meeting. You know, companies are, for the most part, if they, you know, are an office environment, their employees are out. They are working remotely. So, you know, long gone are the days, at least for now, of the captive audience, where you crammed them into a conference center and said, here, watch this. You know, and you had the trainer at the front. You know, and we're not attending conferences. You know, I'm not even seeing them in person being offered. So of course, my first question is, because of all of that, have you been really busy training people how to do remote learning?
It's been a very busy time, mm-hmm. and remote learning is the primary way to go right now. Mm-hmm. I think one of the challenges is with the pandemic, it's hard mm-hmm. to bring people together. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do what the hybrid models that are mm-hmm. popping up. I went to the National Speakers Association conference in July in Las Vegas. I feel mm-hmm. like I had like this window where mm-hmm. I got out.
I know.
But part of the people were there in person mm-hmm. and part were remote. Mm-hmm. And there were challenges to keep mm-hmm. both people engaged. Mm-hmm. And so that's been happening. It's, well, how can we balance it? But now mm-hmm. a lot of different events, they're pulling back and they're doing more virtual and less mm-hmm. of the hybrid, because they don't want the risk of mm-hmm. necessarily booking the space.
Right.
And then, okay, then yeah, something oops. Happens. Oops. Mm-hmm. So I have to wonder if some people are starting to put in their contracts that, you know, if there's a, you know, COVID mm-hmm. epidemic, another outbreak, yeah. another variant.
You still
variant,
have to pay me or yeah, at least a percentage or work. Something. Mm-hmm.
But so even if the world does, and I shouldn't say if, when the world mm-hmm. completely opens up again, mm-hmm. let's hope, right? Mm-hmm. Virtual learning is always going to be right. in the mix. Mm-hmm. And it's a good way to do level setting. Mm-hmm. So for example, I work with people that are coaches, and oftentimes they've got the same intake process. Mm-hmm. They have the same series of questions that they mm-hmm. ask every time they bring in mm-hmm. a new customer. So why not set something up, all that information that mm-hmm. they do over and over and over again, mm-hmm. let the person go through that independently. Mm-hmm. So when they actually meet with them, they mm-hmm. can work at a deeper level.
Right. They've pre-prepared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. And there's certain types of training, though, mm-hmm. that will always have to be done in person. Mm-hmm. And that's more of the skill base. So if mm-hmm. I think of some time that I spent at Pacific Gas and Electric working on their welding curriculum, mm-hmm. you can teach all the math skills that they mm-hmm. need to know how to, mm-hmm. the pipe fitting part of it. Mm-hmm. But they've got to actually pick up the torch.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and they're not doing that in their spare bedroom.
Right. You know, they actually have to get, they have mm-hmm. to actually, and they've got to, somebody has to watch them, somebody mm-hmm. has to evaluate, somebody has mm-hmm. to look at the final outcome. Mm-hmm. So when you have programs like that, mm-hmm. you've got to figure out how to do it in person.
Right.
And what happened there is the groups just, they pull back for a bit, but then the group sizes got smaller mm-hmm. so that you could maintain the social distancing. Mm-hmm. Although those guys, they're fully, you know.
Right, they're masked no matter right? what, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah.
So, but it's going to be interesting as we move forward. Mm-hmm. And the challenge that people are going to have is, because more and more people are putting courses online, mm-hmm. well, what do you do to make yours stand out? Mm-hmm. What do you do to make it engaging?
Right.
And have people not just after maybe mm-hmm. the first lesson or two go, yeah, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm out.
Yeah. Even if they paid quite a bit for it, they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll watch it tomorrow.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. then tomorrow never comes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we have to think, like, how can we be like binge watch worthy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. How can we be madmen or, you know, whatever?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But yeah, you know, it's I am assuming, you know, and this is, we have nothing to base this on, but I am assuming that going forward, we really are going to stay with a lot of the remote things that we've been doing. Yes. They've been working. You know, yeah, there are times where it's a little bit difficult. It's a little bit challenging, but I think in many cases, companies are going to figure out, hey, this saves us money. You know, we're not renting the conference center. We're not renting the space. We're not having people fly to all of these conventions. So, you know, they don't have that airfare. They don't have that hotel. They don't have the lost time while they're there. Because, you know, when we go to conferences and things, you know, and especially if they were, you know, any type, actually, there's a lot of downtime. You know, there's really only a certain little period of time where you're watching the speaker, learning from them. The rest of the time you're wandering around, you're in your hotel, you're going out to eat, all those various things. And so when we can do that remotely and then they can go back to work or, you know, whatever it is, I think businesses are really going to say, hey, this is great. Plus, you know, if you are an organization that has employees in multiple locations, I mean, they have to do this. And they have been to some degree, but I think mm-hmm. now they finally figured out, oh, we really have to do this.
Well, what I think is an interesting way to look at it is there's some costs are going to go down. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some costs that are going to increase mm-hmm. if you're doing a virtual meeting where you right. kind of think about what's the technology mm-hmm. you need.
Yeah, your tech producer, had better be darn
conference
good.
Conference platform, mm-hmm. the tech has got to work. Mm-hmm. So there's a cost mm-hmm. to all of that. Mm-hmm. But where I think there's a big advantage is most times, most people that are working, let's just say they're in a corporation mm-hmm. or really any size organization, you have to make the decision how many people can go
right.
and how many mm-hmm. events can I participate
mm-hmm.
in.
Yeah, you're going to send one person from the department and expect them to tell, train, teach everybody else that they work with.
With a virtual event,
mm-hmm. they all go.
More people, everybody can go because mm-hmm. You don't have as much time off the job. So there's mm-hmm. always, you can figure for most events, you're going to lose 2 days to travel. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can save those 2 days of productivity because people are doing it mm-hmm. from their desk, mm-hmm. it's worth it.
Right.
It, you know, that's a huge mm-hmm. savings right there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on the other side of it, there's the question for the mm-hmm. people that are actually doing the programs mm-hmm. is, well, what's the value mm-hmm. of my intellectual property.
Right. Yeah. Because we did used to charge an upcharge for the travel, all of those various things. You know, if we were right. going somewhere, it meant we couldn't do anything else. So, you know, you had to charge a fee that represented that. You know, and so now if you can give 4 trainings in a day, are you going to cut your fee by 3/4? Right. Did I do that math right?
Well, you know, definitely where you're going to land with your fees is it's all, you know, it's all personal choice. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if my fee to do a presentation, like I'm just saying, is let's just pick $5,000. Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do the math.
Right. It's easy to do the math. If that's my fee to do a presentation, mm-hmm. I'm going to be delivering you that information mm-hmm. that my fee is my fee. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no travel costs. Mm-hmm. And some people may look at this a little bit differently, but I think once you make your investment mm-hmm. in your studio space, right. you get your, mm-hmm. your microphone, I have a nice light over here, mm-hmm. you know, that's a one-time mm-hmm. investment. But the other part of it, that's a new variable mm-hmm. cost that I think is really important that people need to factor in, which mm-hmm. could change mm-hmm. the fee, is to have a digital producer
right.
on with you. So mm-hmm. when I presented my program about how to build training programs mm-hmm. at the NSA convention in Las Vegas mm-hmm. this year, I had a digital producer on mm-hmm. to manage the chat, to keep track of everything.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
you know, her time is worth something mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So I think the fees are going to be, things are going to be shifting mm-hmm. in terms of how do we mm-hmm. bundle it all? Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I was so grateful to have my good friend Dorothy Erlanger on there with me, because what happened is when people were coming in, mm-hmm. everybody was off mute.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah. So it's like, and everybody's coming in late. And mm-hmm. it was kind of hilarious mm-hmm. because I'm doing this from Caesar's Palace. Mm-hmm. So I have my Caesar's Palace purple and gold background.
Of course. Yes, yes.
Everybody else had the same background as me. So most of the people mm-hmm. It was virtual. Mm-hmm. But they were in their hotel rooms or in the mm-hmm. lobby, and some of them might have been at the pool or the bar. I don't mm-hmm. know. But it was a really different type of experience because mm-hmm. it was a hybrid event. Mm-hmm. And I crossed my fingers, said a prayer that the Wi-Fi would mm-hmm. hold.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was in the hotel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it did. Yeah. So I was lucky. Mm-hmm. Not every session had the same success. Mm-hmm. And so there's that. That's a mm-hmm. huge, if you are setting people up to participate mm-hmm. virtually, the tech's got to be perfect. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, you mentioned Wi-Fi. I mean, one of the things that we may start saying is it's got to be hardwired. You know, mm-hmm. we are not going to depend on your Wi-Fi. For at least the camera, your computer. I mean, you know, depending on what all you're using. But yeah, I mean, we might start saying it's got to be hardwired, folks. We can't do the Wi-Fi part.
Yeah, that's going to become increasingly important. Mm-hmm. And then there's very interesting platforms out there like Hopin mm-hmm. that are starting to, they have elements in there to try to mimic the networking part mm-hmm. because that's the thing that I miss.
That's what we miss. Mm-hmm.
Those hallway conversations, mm-hmm. the connecting with peers mm-hmm. or someone that you really would love to learn from, mm-hmm. you get a chance to talk with them, mm-hmm. whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. That's the part that's hard to recreate. And platforms like Hopin, they have these little virtual mm-hmm. breakout rooms that you can go cool. to. You can even you can design it all different types of ways. Mm-hmm. So if there's a particular topic that you're interested mm-hmm. in, people that are interested in the same topic mm-hmm. will all come to the same room. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of cool things that are going to mm-hmm. be happening. And it amazes me just how far these different platforms have come.
I know. The tech is just incredible. You know, I think we were getting there 18, 19 months ago, and then, we have to get there now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in large organizations have been doing e-learning and virtual mm-hmm. meetings because many of them have, you know, mm-hmm. people all over the country, all right. over the world, in fact. So it's been part of it. And mm-hmm. now it's expanded into smaller businesses mm-hmm. too. I mean, with a platform like we're on today, we're on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Anybody mm-hmm. can use Zoom and look great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I mean, that's the thing is with platforms like Zoom, you know, you can do so much and now you have to have the bandwidth. It's funny. I tell people I don't do a green screen. I don't even do the blur feature because I like my computer, but it doesn't have quite enough oomph to generate it right. So I get the halo, I get the half face, I get, you know, all of those various things.
Oh, I think, you know, and most people, I just... Mm-hmm. I do not like the virtual background.
No.
Unless you have the capability yeah. to look like a news. I mean, I watch mm-hmm. when I watch TV, I'm like, oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. I want to look like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's most people, they don't background. Have that.
You know, just share kind of a little sidebar here. Mm-hmm. So I dabble a bit in stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. And some of my cohorts this year, we all agreed we were going to audition for mm-hmm. America's Got Talent. So the audition was virtual mm-hmm. and I was astounded I was in a room with six other people. Mm-hmm. We're all auditioning and it's kind of, you get to kind of feed off mm-hmm. of each other. The number of people that had terrible lighting, mm-hmm. terrible sound, mm-hmm. and okay, get this. If you're going to be auditioning to be on TV, you might want to make your bed.
Yeah. Well, and just, not have, you know, the camera looking up your nose yeah. or at just the top of your head. I'm like, can you not tell that we can only see the top of your head?
And I think it's a good lesson because mm-hmm. some of these people were very talented, but mm-hmm. you couldn't tell.
Right. Because you got sidetracked with all of that.
And it was a way,
stuff.
I mean, mm-hmm. it certainly culled, it was mm-hmm. one way of culling the people that were participating. Mm-hmm. Now, I made it through two rounds, I'm happy Ooh. To say, but you won't see me on TV this year.
Bummer.
Who knows?
Yep. Yeah.
I think you just have to, you don't have to put a lot into having mm-hmm. a nice background. Right. I mean, I have a very simple mm-hmm. setup here. I've mm-hmm. got my picture behind mm-hmm. me. That's it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll add in some other things. Yours is kind of get inside.
I had a Zoom consultant. We had her on the program. She walked me through because I had sayings behind me, inspirational sayings. Mm-hmm. And she said they were too distracting. And we had to watch the books. Are people going to go, what's she reading? And we've all done that, right? You know, the sports guy's on and we're like, what's he reading? Or worse, a politician. And she said, you know, do the plant. She said, do blue because my microphone and your microphone is blue. Plus I have very dark blue eyes. And so she said, you know, we want the whole thing to be blue to play up on that. And I should always wear blue or a pattern that has blue in it. That's simple, easy peasy. My whole setup here, including the mic, including the camera, is under $500.
Yeah. And that's a great way to start. And add into this. So if people are doing the virtual presentation, so I was actually doing a presentation for you today, I'd be sharing a screen.
Right.
So I've got very nice slide deck and that all fits together and everything looks good and is branded well. And the next place, which a lot of people are working successfully, I've been having a little bit of a challenge myself because I got to be first in line to get the new Mac when they come out.
I'm not a Mac person, but somebody the other day was saying, the other day they said September 1st. So clearly it's a little bit late, but yeah, the new Mac.
That's on my radar because I've had a problem with getting a lot of fan noise, which is just a situation, but there's great tools that you can use, for a Mac. It's Ecamm. And I think it's OBS for a PC where then you can add another layer of production on what you're doing. So I could have, you know, a trailer going across the bottom of the screen. I can be a little circle off to the side. You can move yourself around on the screen. So you can raise up your production value.
Right.
And so that's like a next level up to go.
Have two cameras. I had somebody on my podcast one time and they had two cameras and I was like, wowza.
And this little tool,
your little control deck,
the Stream Deck, which then allows you to transition easily from being on camera to a so everything is very smooth and very polished. And that's the next level up to go. And again, we're not talking about a big investment. I think my Stream Deck was $150. The Ecamm software, it's a monthly subscription. I think it's 15, I don't know, 15, 20. But so it's not a big investment to really level up and have a great production quality. Right. And all of this is really good, but you have to have great content that you're going to show.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a lot where I play with people is, okay, what's your content? How can we deliver this in a way that's going to showcase you in the best way? It's going to be interesting. It's going to be memorable. And people are going to want to do more with you.
Right. You know, and you mentioned a little bit ago that you were doing stand-up comedy. And I've had people on before and talked with people who have said that if you're really going to do this and be good at it, you should take some improv classes. And, you know, and it's not that you're taking improv from the audience, but it's just kind of how to do all that. And it's funny, I have a cousin and then his fiance are graduates of Second City. And they they teach improv. And it's just, you know, it's so interesting to think of how that works in a business setting. So talk to us a little bit about that, because, you know, we've always been told now you cannot make jokes in a speech, a presentation, a training, because you're going to offend somebody or, you know, all those things. But there's certainly ways to do it. So talk to us about why having some comedy in there really, really, really helps.
Well, certainly, I think people can be, you know, offended by the language that you choose to use. So, of course, you know, the blue comedy is off the table in most.
And there are some public speakers that we know are going to drop the F-bomb.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's, you know, Guy Kawasaki.
It's just part of their
deal. Gary Vee.
Well, what it is important, best way to bring in humor is to look at what's relatable. What's happening? What are the kind of the stories that are going on in the company that people go, oh yeah, because you can't help but laugh at some of the things that are going on around you. So to kind of really bring in those stories, and all you got to do is people will just go, yeah, I get that. And it's not as much about coming up with, you know, the joke and the punchline. As it is about kind of reacting to what's happening in a place. Because I was at a conference and they brought out like this lunch that was very meager.
Oh.
And everybody knew.
And they're all like,
and they had Dale Irvin, who's a professional summarizer, and he does, he just will look at what's happening and he'll tell jokes about it. He mentioned something about the lunch and everybody's laughing because we all shared that common experience about this meager lunch. You know, it was waiting for more loaves and fish, please. Or something. I don't know what you said. Yeah. It was funnier that I came up with it in the moment, but it's what's happening that you can, you can poke fun at it. That is something we're all sharing rather than if I were to poke fun at you or make fun of you. But if it's what's the shared experience? What makes people, you know, where does the eye rolling happen? We're like, oh, I can't believe that happened again.
But you're not saying, you know, Bob did such and such and so and so, but, you know, and poking fun at Bob. It's, you know, like you said, it's the general shared experience.
That's where the humor can come from.
Right.
And it's the most powerful. I think that's why the comedians like Jerry Seinfeld are so wonderful, because it's observational humor. It's, you know, they did one episode and it was about, you know, how to park the car.
You know, and you're like, how could they do it? I mean, they did however many episodes that they did in total of, what do they say, the show about nothing.
You know, waiting in to get into a restaurant or what, you know, whatever it might be, or, you know.
And we've all gone there. You know, we're like, ugh. That's me. How did they know that happened to me? You know, and part of it too is when you're live, having the chops to be able to deal with things that happen. You know, and usually it is best to do it with a little bit of humor. You know, and we've, you know, as speakers, we've all had stuff happen. You know, we've had somebody drop a serving tray, right? You know, and everybody looks at it, so you might as well address it. You know? Now, you're not going to say, oh my God, I can't believe she dropped that tray again. I bet she does that every time, because that's hurtful. But when you say, okay, everybody look, everybody clap, because that's kind of the thing, right? And then we go on, you know, and yeah, it's just knowing when to have that little bit and then go on.
Well, I think improv is very helpful, as well as people that are involved in Toastmasters, where there's the table topics, or somebody throws a question at you and you need to respond in the moment. That is, those are both great things to prepare you when the things happen around you, or to be when you're doing your Q&A. I was part of a comedy event earlier this year, and the host was new to doing all of this. And the person before me, she wanted to mute the audience, but she kept muting him. And I followed on, and I said something like, wow, you know, Craig, I can really feel your pain. I think I was on mute most of my marriage. And then I went into my
And then you go on, right?
But, you know, I responded to what was going on around me. And oftentimes when you're speaking, you've got to take in what's going on around you, or can you tie what you're talking about to what has happened before you?
Right.
Making, you know, making those connections. Sometimes there was a tap dancing, group of people tap dancing behind me when I was training somewhere.
Oh, that's good.
You can't, you can't just pretend that's not happening. No.
So you do a little dance too, right?
Yeah. So you respond to it and then you move on. And these are all parts of the things in the delivery. And I think when we're in the virtual format, you can look for things that are happening. You know, there's always it's so funny that people don't know how to mute and unmute.
I know.
It's like, and I'm guilty.
I want to sign. I really want to sign, because I saw a shirt. Well, that wouldn't work. But yeah, I want to sign, you're on mute.
Or, you know, or things that are, but it's just, it's about, I think what those skills teach you is to be in the moment and to get out of your head and have what you want to impart come from here, which is, of course, when people are coming up with on the, you know, the preparation and the design for the program, they can get, you can get so caught up in I got every fact. I got to tell them all this information, and you don't stop and think about what's the most important information I need to provide in this, whether it's a live program or a virtual program. When they're done, what do I want them to know or be able to do? And everything I talk about needs to line up to that. All this other information that I have is great. Mm-hmm. And that's another story for another day.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, if I don't get that slide, well, you know, the world won't come to an end.
Right.
But
and no one's going to know.
You know, and, but yeah, I mean, that's one of the you know, it, again, whether you're in person or not, I mean, knowing those important things and, you know, and I think that's, especially when people are new, they've got their outline, they've got their death by PowerPoint, they've got everything. And, you know, and then if something happens, it gets them totally off. I mean, they just, you know, they went from point one to point two and they don't know how to do point three because, you know, so, you know, obviously practice, preparation. Right. I mean, all those things, you know, some people can do improv and off the cuff, but, you know, they have probably still at least taken notes and done some things so that they know, okay, here's what is it? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Then I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you again. You know, so they know those things and then they just kind of fill in everything else. Right.
And a lot of it comes down to really good design. And I like to think of it mm-hmm. as intentional design is the frame that I've been looking at. And as we've moved into this virtual platform, people kind of, they don't really think about necessarily that, now we're in this box, right? Now we could plan things where I could be positioned. If I was here more as a presenter, I'd be standing up. I'd have
You could have two cameras and we could watch you pace.
What's important to do ahead of time is to really look at what are you designing? What platform are you designing for? Are you designing for Zoom? Are you designing for e-learning?
Right.
And what I'd like to have people is to step back and think about it from the perspective of, let's look at entertainment. There's a book that starts, and the book could be turned into a play. They're going to be different experiences because it's a different medium. Then the play perhaps could be turned into a movie, or maybe the play goes right to a movie. But when you go to a movie, it's different than the book.
Right. It's not read like you're just reading the book.
It you've got an opportunity to show visuals. You have an opportunity to be in different locations. You can play around, perhaps more with time and space. The characters might change. Some things are cut out. Some things are added in because it works better to advance the story in a movie than in a book.
Right.
And some books, if you try to just take them and directly translate them. To a movie, you know, okay, I'm going to be here for 8 hours. I can't do it. And so when you're thinking about moving from being in person to being either online or virtual, you have to think about those same elements. So what are my constraints and what are my opportunities? And that is a key component. If people don't remember anything else from this interview, please remember that. Really design with intention.
Right.
And when you're, and think ahead, if you want to have multiple delivery platforms, what's going to be the most complicated and involved, build for that one first and then work backward to things that are easier.
Yeah, it's interesting. At the very start, I wrote down live and question mark. And my question was going to be, is there a difference between when you give a live presentation and when you're doing it online? And then, of course, you know, there's the online where it's a live interactive thing or you're recording it. And so, you know, I was percolating in my brain that you needed to prepare differently, and you answered that perfectly. Yeah.
And one thing that I get very frustrated by is if I sign up for a webinar, I think it's going to be live. Many times they're recorded.
Right.
And they don't tell you that they're recorded until you're there. So the questions that are being answered are from the people that participated in the actual webinar rather than the people that are there. I tested this once because I was looking at the people's names in the chat. They were asking. Like, so there's nothing wrong with recording your webinars and packaging them up and selling us. Certainly people have done a whole lot of that in the last 18
we've
months.
Seen tons of that. If you can't be there live, you'll get the link later.
Yeah. And if I'm coming in later, this thing is already passed and I'm not, you know, I didn't participate, but I see it maybe 3 months later. personally, I'd like to know that it's a recording.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an opportunity when you're planning your webinar to mm-hmm. have an even better recording if you really look at how am I going to break this up? What are the key parts?
Mm.
And mm-hmm. put in deliberate pauses
mm-hmm.
throughout the webinar. So you could go along, you know, ta 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 ta. Then you pause, you take questions,
mm-hmm.
you pause, you smile,
mm-hmm.
and then you transition into the next section. Just that short pause mm-hmm. allows you, when you go in to edit it into mm-hmm. individual modules, it gives you a clean place to cut.
Right. You're not having to cut somebody in mid-sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. Or oftentimes people will go in and they'll do the Q&A and then they just ramble into what the next section mm-hmm. is going to be without a clean break. Mm-hmm. I also think it's a great idea to cut the Q&A
mm-hmm.
out mm-hmm. and get a transcript of it. And then produce a frequently asked questions document, which mm-hmm. then takes that
mm-hmm.
Course
mm-hmm.
and it skinnies it down
mm-hmm. right,
to perhaps more manageable mm-hmm. elements. Because if I'm not there in the webinar mm-hmm. experiencing the Q&A,
mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Right. Well,
that's just my opinion, my humble opinion on this topic.
You know, it's and Q&A is difficult. No matter what, if you're live, unless you are bebopping around real quick and handing somebody a microphone, a lot of times you have no idea what was asked. And I don't care how many times you tell the speaker, please repeat the question. They never remember to do that, or they repeat it in a different way and all of those things. And when we're doing, say, a Zoom and people just put their questions in chat, what drives me nuts is the speaker will just say, oh yeah, Bob just asked about, and we don't get the actual question, or sometimes they don't even say it at all. They'll just say, that step is to do this and this and this. And I'm like, what's he talking about? I'm lost.
Yeah.
So Q&A is very difficult to do well.
It's difficult. Yeah. And I do think that's where having a digital producer
mm-hmm.
comes in handy.
Right.
Because you can have that person mm-hmm. watch the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Then they can, you decide kind of when mm-hmm. how you're going to handle them, them breaking in.
Mm-hmm.
They can look at the questions.
Mm-hmm.
They can say something like, we've had a whole lot of different questions today about mm-hmm. microphones.
Right.
Can you share your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. On so you get one question about microphones.
But you're acknowledging
mm-hmm.
that a number of people mm-hmm. are interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's sometimes that the questions are like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got lost on point two.
But you look at it and you go, I have no idea what you're saying in the mm-hmm. way somebody has typed it in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this can be risky, but in that moment, you can say, could you come off mute and mm-hmm. ask your question?
Right. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think I may have a follow-up mm-hmm. question to be clear on where you're mm-hmm. going. And it's always risky to take people off
because mm-hmm.
they might always go back on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is the nice thing about Zoom. You can plunk them back onto mute.
Yeah, you can kick them out if you want.
it is difficult. It's like we were saying, people, they ask half their question and you're on mute. And then they get flustered and don't, and they don't remember what their question was or whatever. I mean, Q&A is just tricky no matter what.
Yeah. So it it's mm-hmm. all about being able to respond in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Now, we've talked about it, but the absolute most important thing is that you have to have engaging content.
Mm-hmm.
So how the heck do you do this? Because we all think what we're talking about is the greatest thing since War and Peace, and everybody wants to hear it. And yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Probably heard this before, the whole idea of facts tell and mm-hmm. stories sell.
Mm-hmm.
The first way we can make content engaging is by telling a story.
Mm.
I used to do some thought leadership type of mm-hmm. training, and this was for an accounting software firm. Mm-hmm. And we would have different accountants.
Mm-hmm.
They were the presenters.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they have a lot of facts. They got a lot to share.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm.
those numbers people are going to give you numbers.
But what's fascinating about what they do is they really help mm-hmm. a lot of people. And when I worked there, I thought, well, let's bring in the whole idea of the hero's journey. Mm. Their client is the hero, mm-hmm. and the accountant doing the presentation mm-hmm. is the guide. Mm. That's the sage advice that came mm-hmm. in along the way. They gave them insight into how to mm-hmm. improve their business. So they could come in and they could tell about how they do work with mm-hmm. e-commerce customers, for example. Mm-hmm. They could talk about what it was like before, mm-hmm. what it was, how they helped them, and then what was the powerful mm-hmm. result. Now, if you tell me a story, I'm going to remember the
right.
story.
Because I'm going to put myself in that story.
Yes. We relate to stories. Mm-hmm. We've been telling stories as long as we've been able to speak, mm-hmm. and maybe even before when the cave mm-hmm. paintings on the wall, they were telling a story. Mm-hmm. Those stories have been how we've connected. If I tell you my story, you're going to mm-hmm. want, oh yeah, I got, you know, it's like, da, da, da. It's mm-hmm. like we're constantly exchanging stories. Mm-hmm. So that's one part to look at. For every point that you have, mm-hmm. where can you bring in a story to illustrate the mm-hmm. point? Can you have a story be a thread to go through it? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a project now. I can't say the name of the client.
It's one of those biggies. We're sure.
One of these, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to be working on an overarching case study mm. that we'll use to guide people through. So we're going to mm-hmm. talk about how this particular company, as they grew in size and mm-hmm. scale, how they were able to bring in the products mm-hmm. so the customer's bringing mm-hmm. in the company's products to mm-hmm. grow their business. Mm. So we're going to tell their story mm-hmm. as it goes through, and I think mm-hmm. it'll be quite mm-hmm. effective.
Right.
The next part to look at is oftentimes people don't want to say type in the chat, mm-hmm. but when you say type in the chat, that's bringing people in. Mm-hmm. So you want to have a good question to ask people or something mm-hmm. that's going to be relatable. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you here today?
Yeah. Where are you from? Things that they're going to answer.
Mm-hmm. And I saw something really cool the other day that I want to try from a company called Mentimeter. Mm-hmm. And Mentimeter, now you can integrate with Zoom, and they have... It's a great where you can pose questions. You give people a link or a mm-hmm. QR code so they can either do it on their computer or on mm-hmm. their phone. And it takes them into a question. Mm-hmm. One thing that they do that I love is you can then take everybody's responses mm-hmm. and then display a word cloud.
Ah, cool.
So that brings in the collective. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I saw the other day that I want to try the next time I open something up is they have a map of the world and mm. people can pin...
Oh, very cool. Here's where I am.
So mm-hmm. instead of just saying, hey, type in the chat, where are y'all from? Mm-hmm. Who's in the house today? Mm-hmm. You can then have people come in. And that just is another way to keep people engaged mm-hmm. and involved. And they've got a lot of interesting mm-hmm. ways that you can pose questions or polls mm-hmm. that go beyond just the basic features mm-hmm. of Zoom. And Zoom is brilliant. And that that's one of the apps that they mm-hmm. integrate with. Mm-hmm. So that you can work with it inside the platform more easily.
Very cool.
It's looking for items like that where you engage people, where they're participating mm-hmm. more. There is another thing that I used not too long ago. It was created by Amy Clymer and their Clymer cards. Mm-hmm. And they're it's interactive. Mm-hmm. So you can either, she's got cards that you can buy that are generic. They're beautiful mm-hmm. artwork. So there's an image on the card mm-hmm. and you can have people look at the cards and say, perhaps you're opening up a presentation, mm-hmm. which one of these cards accurately describes how you're feeling mm-hmm. today? Mm-hmm. And then they can write a little something on the mm-hmm. card and then everybody gets to see the responses. Mm-hmm. And it's a very cool, simple, mm-hmm. tool to get people in and get them engaged. Mm-hmm. So every time you're looking at something you're working on, you want to look at it and say, what's the best way for me to illustrate mm-hmm. this point? Is this the time that I want to bring in some type of interaction mm-hmm. from the audience? And you want mm-hmm. to be doing something interactive every few minutes just right. to keep people on,
yeah, because,
on board.
Because you know, we are going to be...
I have another screen over here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I've got another monitor over here and I'm like,
I can be checking my mail.
I can just check my email. I can, oh, look at and this video, squirrel.
Yeah, I'll just kind of be half listening to mm-hmm. whatever's going on here.
I know. And then you really know when everybody turns their video off, right? You're like, uh-oh, lost them.
Yeah. And people love the opportunity to go into a breakout room mm-hmm. and have a small group discussion mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because that's where we can have that opportunity right. mm-hmm. to connect and to network mm-hmm. and learn more about mm-hmm. the people that we're participating with. Mm-hmm. I did a 2-day retreat a couple months ago mm-hmm. where I brought people together and we went through the whole mm-hmm. course design process from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And there were times that I had them doing things on their own, just mm-hmm. quiet reflection and take some notes. Mm-hmm. And then there were times where then we put them into a breakout room mm-hmm. and they would have a particular item to discuss in the breakout mm-hmm. room. Then they would come back and they would share with the larger group, which is not that different mm-hmm. from what you would do
right.
mm-hmm. in a person session. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of look at what did I do when I was in person? Mm-hmm. And given the opportunities and limitations of the virtual platform, mm-hmm. how can I transition that mm-hmm. particular type of exercise? And there's, and you, you know, and just, it'll come to you mm-hmm. what to, right. how you can make that all happen. Right.
And there's actually more things that we can do on the online world than you can in person.
I was in a session one time and they said, then you know, this is probably more, maybe it works better with women than with men, but whoever has the best shoes can start. Now mm-hmm. it worked on one hand because a couple of people were wearing fabulous shoes. Mm-hmm. Now there were people like me, I'm going, I'm barefoot.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah, right. I guess I don't get to... mm-hmm. Or you can come up with, if you want to do a scale, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you can come up with a post a ruler that has mm-hmm. the different types of from mm-hmm. not satisfied to very satisfied or mm-hmm. whatever the scale might be. And people mm-hmm. can mark where they are on the scale.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah.
You know, really just think about it and mm-hmm. go, okay, what's open? And mm-hmm. I would imagine to make some of these interactive elements. I have not mm-hmm. explored this yet as I'm getting more and more ideas, but mm-hmm. After I looked at that map the other day, I thought, wow, what else could I do mm-hmm. that people could interact with?
Right.
And there's probably some programmer on Fiverr somewhere.
Yeah, that can do.
Mm-hmm. That could build it for me. Because it would just be a question of sending people to a landing page mm-hmm. to interact with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then have the tech able to bring it back and integrate it in your presentation.
And a lot of different applications that people interact mm-hmm. with, there's, you know, scan the QR code. Mm-hmm. So we were having people scanning QR codes and texting in the mm-hmm. big rooms. And I'm like, woo, that's hot stuff. Well, mm-hmm. you could do that here too.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and of course, the key is practice first. When you're yes. trying these new things, folks, you know, this is not the time to have 50 people online, 5,000 people, whatever, and be going, now, I think I click this button here. Somebody let's, help me.
Let's press next and see what happens yeah, because yeah. no one is sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. But yeah. Well, you know, kind of along those same lines, is there a difference between webinars and online learning?
Yes. I think we've been using the term virtual and online mm-hmm. to
kind of mush them all together.
It's all mm-hmm. mushed together. The way to think about it is a virtual program or a webinar, I'm present. Mm-hmm. I'm delivering. People are mm-hmm. in their little boxes, the Hollywood right. Squares.
We're doing the Brady Bunch.
But mm-hmm. I'm here and I'm live. Mm-hmm. Then when you move into online learning, that is more of a self-study type of a format, if you mm-hmm. will. The person is taking the course. Mm-hmm. They're sitting at their computer. They're going through a series of lessons. It could be something to read. Mm-hmm. It could be video, an interactive quiz. Mm-hmm. But there is not an instructor present mm-hmm. to guide them through the process. Okay. And those are the types of programs where I think it's important to really have a good, solid design and mm-hmm. plan mm-hmm. and be as economical as you can be. Mm-hmm. in your choice of words, mm-hmm. because people have a limited time that they're going to mm-hmm. be able to focus.
Right.
So if you do a video, 5 to 7 minutes is a good window. Sometimes, mm-hmm. okay, if the content requires mm-hmm. it can be longer, but mm-hmm. to try to keep them short mm-hmm. is
if it gets
thing.
Longer, think about breaking it into two.
Yeah. How can you break it into mm-hmm. two? And then what can you do for people to have some sort of mm-hmm. interactive activity in between. Mm-hmm. So it might be that they go through a video, they've got some kind of a PDF document mm-hmm. where they need to go in and answer some questions. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's they've got to do some reflection. I do something about why virtual, why now? And have people write, why do they even want to get in this game?
Right.
Or writing something about what is your purpose? So that then engages, so they do that part. Then they come back in and they watch the next segment of it.
Right.
Well, and what's critical, I'm guessing, is that it absolutely has to be engaging and interesting. Because if I'm sitting here at my desk and I've done, you know, 15 minutes and, you know, all this, and then I'm doing this, well, maybe I should check my email, you know, wait, look, there's somebody here, you know, things like that. And I'm not, the next thought in my mind is not, I need to go back to what I was doing, you know, and so that's where it absolutely has to be such engaging content that I'm going to write this down as fast as I can because I want to see the next thing.
And it not only needs to be engaging, but it has to be something that people really want.
Right.
I really want to learn this. Mm-hmm. This is really important to me. Mm-hmm. That's number one. There's got to be a match between what is your offer and what does your client want to consume. That's number one. Then you want to look at how am I going to structure this and keep it fun and engaging. I mean, and if you can make people laugh, you know, that's all the better because it just keeps, you know, what's going to happen next.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's such a fun challenge to be thinking about. And I think, you know, as we were saying at the very start, so many people are now having to do this, you know, because we used to go and do trainings in person, whether it was in a company or, you know, you were a consultant coming in, all of these various things. And so, you know, we have to think about it. And of course it can be daunting too, because we're thinking, oh my God, I have to do all of this. But it's, you know, like you were saying, it's pretty simple. I mean, like, with a Mac, a lot of that software is built in. I had somebody the other day showing me, oh, I can do this and this. And I was like, holy schmoly.
Yeah. It's a lot there. Well, it's important. And again, a lot of this comes back to good design and good planning. And if you can think it through and, you know, you have all these ideas and they're all swirling around and, oh my gosh, where am I going to go? What's next? And one exercise that I like to take clients through is to do a brainstorming activity. And one of my favorite tools of all time, they're up here, the Post-it note.
Sticky note.
The sticky note. And what you can do is every, you know, your topics, just write them on a note. Stick them up on a wall or a big piece of flip chart paper and just keep just putting them there, just sticking them and sticking them and sticking them. Then step back and look at it and go, how can I organize all of these great ideas? What's a good flow? What do I want to put into my course? What do I want to have as either a pre-read or some type of a post activity? You can, because you want to look at, well, how does this fit into my whole customer journey? What's the funnel that I'm going to move people through? From their first experience with me all the way through to the end. So to come up with, just brainstorm, put them on the notes, put them on the wall, and then take them and structure them. And then the next step is to look at it from the angle of, okay, what content do I already have? What exists?
Right.
What form does it exist in? What is something I haven't written about at all? It's brand new. And then you can get real clarity around, I'm looking like I have something up here.
We're looking at it.
Then put it in a logical sequence. And then as you're building it out, you know what you've got to pull from and you know what you need to build from
zero. Right. You know, and it's, you know, make it. And there are ways to make it fun. You know, obviously for the participants too. I was just thinking, we did a thing with my husband's company where it was kind of a learning thing because now he would have done this in person at a seminar, but or a conference, but they didn't do it because of COVID. And so they thought, you know, let's go ahead and do it. And so it was a wine tasting.
Yes.
And so we got in advance three different bottles of wine. Now they were little bottles of wine, you know, and food that was paired with it. Now, you know, the Georgia sun kind of did a number on some of the food, you know, if it sat out on your balcony for a while, but, you know, and then the learning part was the sommelier. And he was saying, you know, and so we had the pre-event chit chat, you know, type of thing, and everybody got to know each other, and virtually no one was from the same company. I mean, this really was like you would be at that conference and you were just there. Now it was you know, clearly this was invitation only. I mean, you know, also, I don't know how much it cost to send the wine, but, you know, and then they would say, okay, now we want you, you know, we want you to open the red so it could breathe, because we're going to talk about this one now. You know, and so then we drank and we sipped and we, you know, of course, after the hour, we're pretty giggly, but it really was very cool because it drew us in just like if we were there.
Right. Well, they had you were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you can get people where they're mm-hmm. doing something mm-hmm. and they're not just listening.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've talked to companies that have sent boxed lunches and, you know, and have said, okay, now everybody get out your lunch. We're going to, you know, and I mean, just all sorts of things. So it's not just that you're sending them the, you know, the slides that they're supposed to print in advance or
here's
whatever
it is. 500 pages.
Yeah. Send them something fun. You know, and obviously there is a cost to that, but yeah, it's, you know, what are ways that you can do it? And maybe it is just, you know, something that a pre-read and it's, you know, 50 jokes that you want them to read or something. Who knows?
But, and, you know, for a retreat, it's perfect to mm-hmm. send out some type of a swag box
mm-hmm. yep.
ahead of time. You can mm-hmm. have some branded items in there. Then what could they be interacting mm-hmm. with? Mm-hmm. There, I know someone, she has cards with expressions that mm-hmm. you can mm-hmm. hold up, or maybe there's flags that people yep. can wave, or mm-hmm. something to bring people in mm-hmm. or not. We're going to have our coffee break and everybody's mm-hmm. is going to go and mm-hmm. make their coffee.
Yep.
I participated in something similar. Was a corporate event, and we did, it was how to make some type of a Mexican street taco.
Mm.
And it was fascinating to watch mm-hmm. how she did this and mm-hmm. to think, well, how could this translate into mm-hmm. something else that I might work mm-hmm. on? Because she had two cameras. She had one that was down on the food, and one on her that mm-hmm. she would go back and forth. But she was walking us through mm-hmm. the process. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody, now we're going to boil the tomatoes so we mm-hmm. can peel them or the peppers, mm-hmm. whatever it mm-hmm. was. But we did each phase of it. Mm-hmm. And if you have a particular mm-hmm. skill that you're teaching, you know, do you need to have that type of an mm-hmm. investment where you need a camera mm-hmm. pointing down mm-hmm. something on you? Mm-hmm. Or how can you just, even in this context, give people mm-hmm. specific instructions
right.
in what to, how to proceed, what mm-hmm. to do next?
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm not necessarily just sitting, but
right.
perhaps I'm creating.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm helping people build out a course, there's specific deliverables along the way mm-hmm. and I have them go through and, okay, let's work on doing our scope.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the key questions that you need mm-hmm. to ask to come up with your scope. So they go off and they do that
mm-hmm.
and they come back.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of that type of an activity is if people feel like I'm accomplishing something
right.
along mm-hmm. the way.
They are truly participating.
They're not just mm-hmm. listening, and they maybe have a bit of work mm-hmm. done on mm-hmm. their project. And I'm looking and putting together, I don't have all the details together quite yet, but it'll be on my website soon. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a 5-day challenge and I want to have them do something every mm-hmm. day in the challenge.
Very cool. I love it.
Learn more about not only what to do, but mm-hmm. what's the experience of working mm-hmm. with me like.
Right. I love it. Well, speaking of that, oh my gosh, we are already at the top of the hour.
Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, I'm sure that we've got a lot of people who know that they need to do this and went, So how do they connect with you and what are the services that you provide?
Okay. Well, you can see my name on the bottom of the screen
mm-hmm.
and my website is nancygeary.com.
Mm-hmm. And so it's G-I-E-R-E.
Yes, that's right. And I can see my name right there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's the best way to mm-hmm. to find me there.
Mm-hmm.
There I have, and I'll give you the link to this that you can put in the notes,
mm-hmm.
but I have a booklet, 8 Simple Steps to Create Training That Sells.
Ah.
And that gives kind of a whole mm-hmm. framework of mm-hmm. my process. And so mm-hmm. I'm happy to let people have that mm-hmm. to take a look at as a good place to start.
Great.
And I'm offering different webinars and programs mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing is to just check in on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And my email is nancy@nancygiere.com.
Perfect.
And if somebody wants to, you know, go old school, you can call me. How about that? And that's 414-315-9809.
Cool. I love it. I love it.
I love, you know, in the pandemic, I just need people to talk to. Just saying.
I know. You know, I started an online networking group just because I needed to see people. Like, you know, and it has evolved into a true networking group. We have speakers, I mean, all sorts of stuff. But yeah, it was like, oh my God, I need to see people.
I need to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. You and me are a lot alike. We're very social.
I need to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I'm not doing in-person networking and meetings. So, you know, I'm living online now. It's the other day I had 6 Zooms. That's a little much in one day.
That's a lot.
But yeah, so cool. Well, oh my gosh, this really has been so much fun. And it's made me think about, you know, A, should I even be doing it? Do I have content that people would care about, right? That is the very first thing that we
have to think about. That's
the first question. Yeah. 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 You know, and that answer sadly might be no. But yeah, you know, you don't want to put a whole bunch of work into it and then find that you get crickets. So yeah, so think about that first. So I'll be thinking about, is there something people would care about?
A way to approach it.
Yep. So I love it. But, you know, tell us, you know, I want to talk with you again. So we'll have another fun discussion at some point.
All right.
But until then, what are some final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with?
The final thought that I want to leave everybody with is to really look at what are the platforms that are available to you? Mm-hmm. What opportunity do they give you? What limitations are there? And how can you take your brilliant ideas and explain them in the best way possible, given those different platforms? Really think about what are the stories that you can tell? What are the activities that you can have people do? What can you do to help them actually get some real work done, whether they're participating with you in a webinar or in an online program?
Perfect. I love it. Well, I am Deb Creer. I've been having an absolutely delightful time talking with Nancy Geary. Can't wait to learn more from you. And until then, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.